In this significant series of podcasts, we will delve into a topic that many people shy away from: life in a wheelchair. Your participation and understanding are crucial to this discussion on disability rights. We will uncover some unvarnished truths and the serious challenges that people with spinal cord injuries wrestle with daily. This will have a sharp and clear focus on bladder management, one of the biggest challenges faced by those with spinal cord injuries. And yet, it's something the population at large doesn't give a thought to when they need to empty their bladder. In this podcast series, we will gather a diverse range of perspectives, from the individuals with spinal cord injuries themselves, hint, it's not all about walking, to the professionals and experts who manage them, the funders who do or do not pay for them, and the legal eagle's input on policy, decisions, and human rights. If you're ready to expand your horizons or refresh those that may lie dormant, let's dive right in. Today's guest is Ari Sorelis. He loves fly fishing, has participated in many off-road rallies on his adapted Yamaha quad bike, and is a social entrepreneur. In his youth, he was a part-time model, brother, son, and socialite. Ari has been in a wheelchair for the past 40 years following a devastating diving accident. Ari knows this journey well. It doesn't need to show him its name badge. As the former CEO of the Quad Para Association of South Africa, he has not only a wealth of personal experience, but has also seen the broader horizon of the South African landscape. Ari has influenced the lives of so many people in South Africa, inspiring and giving hope and challenging the health and architectural sectors. Ari has served as the CEO of the Quad Para Association, the presidential advisor on disability matters, befriended the late Christopher Reeve, helped facilitate mobility with a driving program, sought solutions for employability, and now is also a successful author. This remarkable man has agreed to a coffee dialogue with Mark Brand to share his personal story and help us understand better. Mark is a health technology and policy consultant who has worked with Ari on CASA projects relating to consumer advocacy and access to healthcare, forging a personal friendship over many years, sharing interests stretching from old high school sporting rivalries in KZN, mutual support of favorite sports teams, business ideas, and general philosophizing about life. Mark is inspired every time he speaks to Ari, not least of all because of all he has achieved, but also that he is a man who lives his convictions with passion. So it is not surprising that Mark has leapt at the opportunity to have yet another conversation with Ari. So let's jump right in and meet Ari and Mark.
Hi, Ari. Good to see you again. It's really great to talk to you, as I'm always inspired by our chats. So thanks again for your time.
Thanks, Mark. Likewise. Back to you. I've always enjoyed your professionalism and support, especially for the Access to Health project. So thanks for that and this great coffee you've just made.
There are so many interesting facets to your life, so I'll just do my best to stay on course in this chat. Maybe a good starting point is just to tell me about some of your biggest challenges and what you could share regarding your spinal cord injury.
One of the most interesting facts I've found about being a quadriplegic is most people assume you want to walk again and that using a wheelchair is your most disabling element. The reality is that bladder infections have haunted me for years soon after my injury. I honestly didn't see that coming and I felt ill-equipped to deal with it. In fact, I just accepted it was part and parcel of being a quadriplegic, always having a slight headache and sweat on my forehead. I wish I'd known earlier in my journey that this was a necessary part of life I should be living.
But I really don't understand. Were you not warned of the risk of infections? I would have assumed it was covered by your doctor or at least your urologist.
During rehabilitation, I was actually never referred to a urologist. A well-informed healthcare professional, up to date with evidence-based medicine, could probably have made a real impact to my quality of life back then.
That is a pity. So what did you do then?
Well, however, after my first visit explaining the discomfort of a bladder infection, I was encouraged to self-catheterize and only informed about a reusable Fuji catheter, which came with its own little storage container. No instructions were given on how to clean it and keep it sterile. I still don't know the answer to that. It would have been very useful information to have shared with me. I tried all sorts of methods of cleaning and storage, but I still seem to have that slight headache and discomfort. Perhaps this wasn't the magic wand I was hoping for.
So you say this just carried on relentlessly. You just have to accept and live through infection after infection? That really sounds inhumane.
The continual bladder infections were just a starting point, Mark. A subsequent visit to a urologist and a few scans revealed that my kidneys were getting damaged. I knew this management protocol was not working for me, and the stakes were higher than the already burdensome urinary tract infections that I was experiencing. I was moving towards a more dangerous outcome that could further impact my health, even in more severe ways. Something really had to be done to address this, Mark.
So what did you do then?
Well, I happened to meet a representative of Coloplast who encouraged me not to reuse, but rather use a hydrophilic single-use catheter. I felt I had nothing to lose, apart from the cash, and this was not covered by any medical aid. Everything changed.
You say everything changed because of a single-use catheter. Could the solution really have been that simple? Can you tell me exactly what changed?
Well, my bladder infection disappeared. Gone. I've never since spent a single night in hospital as a result of a bladder infection. I'm sure I've saved my medical aid so much money without the hospitalization, medicines, consultation bills. You know, there should really be a loyalty program for it.
You say your bladder management routine improved with the subsequent bladder health improvement.
It also saved my kidneys and probably my liver as well from not having to take all those would-be antibiotics. Suddenly I felt energized. I was more like myself. I imagine that improved my mood alongside everything else.
So how would you then describe your routine? What makes the biggest difference?
My SpeediCath has become my preferred product, and I refuse to reuse. And this has been my mantra, because I've lived this proof. It's the ultimate test.
But Ari, you say refuse to reuse. We still hear a lot of users of intermittent catheters being prescribed single use. Let's call them disposable catheters. But their funders insist they reuse them, as they can only cover anything from 4 to 10 a month. How do you address that?
That's the problem. Firstly, a disposable catheter is exactly that. Disposable, like a drinking straw. It says so on the wrapper. Use once only. I'd never keep the straw of a cool drink that I've just finished. I dispose of them both. Disposable catheters, like straws, are not designed to be cleaned or sterilized, nor are there instructions to do so. Honestly, there is no specific evidence at all that these catheters are suitable for reuse. So why should we be forced to reuse them?
Yes, I also struggle to comprehend that.
Yes, Mark. And furthermore, reusing a catheter, which is a regulated medical device, is illegal, even in South Africa. So insisting on reuse is actually perpetuating the breaking of the law.
Sorry, what you're telling me is that such a small intervention really changed your life that dramatically?
Absolutely. Looking back in my 40 years as a quadriplegic, I can't help thinking how compromised I was. By the lack of information shared with me in rehabilitation, as well as the many years thereafter, more people need to know about it. It matters. Bladder infections were brutal, Mark.
It really sounds unbelievable what you were made to go through. And as I said before, borderline inhumane. How did you navigate this?
I realized that we, people with spinal cord injuries, are consumers. We have rights, and we have to challenge poor protocols and standards, especially when it comes to bladder and bowel management. We have to insist that our medical schemes reimburse according to an evidence-based protocol to ensure our well-being. They are charged with the responsibility of our well-being, and we should not suffer the harm that so many have and continue to experience. Our voices need to drive the awareness and need for better decision-making and policy setting in order to demonstrate the value of our well-being through good bladder and bowel management.
So you've really benefited from using these catheters correctly, relatively recently, as your funders saw value to them and started paying. But do you feel you're at any disadvantage now, having missed this opportunity in the earlier years?
Well, although the initial damage of the last 20 years of bad bladder management has been done, I'm healthy and well informed, most importantly, about my rights and bladder management. I don't wish this initial bladder management journey upon anybody with a spinal cord injury. Strong advocacy must be encouraged for all people with spinal cord injuries to ensure their rights and understanding of best management protocols, especially for bowel and bladder, that being our Achilles heel.
So Ari, if you had a message to share with others going through the same difficulties, what would you say to them?
Again, Mark, refuse to reuse. Insist that your funder, be it medical aid, road accident fund, or COID, covers your bladder management according to evidence-based medicine. It's their minimum obligation. You will not suffer the unintended consequences of a spinal cord injury, providing you know your rights and stand up for them as a consumer. The benefits far outweigh the costs. I would encourage you to steal with pride, refuse to reuse mantra with your doctor, your funder, and those that have not had exposure to this education.
So what is the ultimate benefit, Ari?
Well, you too can have a healthy bladder. I almost sound like a politician and bowel routine that protects you, keeps you out of hospital and allows you to live your best life. It's just not good enough to be told that disposable catheters cost too much, that a policy excludes them, without factoring in what it cost me. Your funder will also begin to realize that a relatively small investment in your health will save you and them a lot of money. We all deserve to live our lives to the fullest, Mark, and there are ways that this can be achieved. We may have a spinal cord injury, but we certainly have a backbone.
So practically, how have you managed, and how easy has access to these catheters been?
My bladder has become so easy to manage. I'm infection-free, and the convenience of having SpeediCath delivered to my front door on a monthly basis is quite remarkable. This service is available right now. I remain environmentally conscious when disposing of my catheter after each use, and so my bladder is infection-free and my conscience is clear.
Ari, thanks so much for sharing this. I hope that others listening are able to realize the same successes that you have.
Thanks, Mark. I'm so pleased to have got this off my chest. And here's my funny take on my bladder health and management. Remember that saying, happy wife, happy life? Well, here's mine and here's another. Happy bladder, happy life.
Ari and Mark, thank you. We are so grateful to you for expanding our knowledge and understanding of the implications of a spinal cord injury. You have shed light on the impact a healthy bladder management routine has and given hope that solutions exist. Recognizing the power an individual has both singularly and collectively will surely help scores of people who may be suffering in silence. Looking to the future, we will be hosting further podcasts on matters like the clinical perspective, the Economic Balancing Act, and human rights implications. So be sure to turn on your notifications for future episodes.